following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to turn to our reading for this evening, which is from Luke chapter 8. So do grab a Bible and we're going to turn to Luke chapter 8. We're continuing in our series in Luke, and it's on page 1037. There are handouts sort of down the middle aisles as well, so do pass those along. Tim is going to come and preach in a few moments' time, but first, Luke chapter 8, reading from verse 16, and Rachel is going to come and read that for us. Rachel, wonderful, thank you.
No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him."
Thanks, Rachel. Good evening, everybody. My name's Tim, if you haven't met yet. I'm the curate here at St. Michael's. Why don't we pray and ask for God's help as we come to this bit of the Bible. Lord God, it is an extraordinary thing that you speak to us. Thank you that you do, and we pray that as we hear you now, you would help us to listen. Amen. Well, if you've been around church for any length of time, you've probably seen or heard that Jesus says some pretty amazing things. Maybe even if church is something new to you, I'm sure you've heard some of Jesus' teachings. You know, love your neighbour, love your enemy, you know, turn the other cheek. Or maybe you've heard some of the claims that Jesus makes about himself. He says, "I'm the light of the world." He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus says, "No one can come to God except through me." Even as we've journeyed through Luke over the last couple of weeks and months, we have heard Jesus say some amazing things. You know, teaching us, his followers, to live in ways that are totally different to how many around us tell us how to live. So why should we listen? Right, why should we listen to Jesus, to all of the things that he has been telling us to do here in Luke, for all of the things that he tells us to do in the rest of Scripture? Why should we listen? You know, what makes Jesus different to any of the hundreds or thousands of other people that every single day command our attention? Because the world is noisy, isn't it? There's a research group called the Center for Humane Technology. And they're basically an awareness group trying to wake us up, I suppose, to what it is happening to us through the adverts that we get, through our social media, through going to the shops, through watching TV. And they had a piece of research out recently. And that research found that every single day, the average human in the Western world is subject to between 6,000 and 10,000 ads. That is an extraordinary figure. Even if we take their lowest estimate of 6,000 ads, that's 6,000 people telling us something, trying to get us to do something every single day. The world is noisy. And with all that noise, why do we listen to Jesus? Right, why prioritize him? And this evening, in these three little stories, we get three reasons as to why we do that. Three reasons as to why it's worth listening to Jesus. So, first story, verse 16 down to 18. Listen to Jesus, he says, because his truth reveals all. This first story is all about lamps. Look down with me. Let me read verse 16 again. Jesus says this. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Okay, lamps. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And the lamp that Jesus is referring to looks a little bit like one of these. This is what they had in those days. It was a small clay pot, and they'd fill it with oil, and there'd be a little wick, and they would light it. It might be a bit like a candle we might see today, but in Jesus' day, these small but not insignificant little lamps, it's what they would use to light their house. In a similar way that we use lamps today. So I've got one here. And we're coming into autumn, aren't we? The nights are drawing in. And very soon, if not already, we probably have all these lots of little lamps lighting our house. Let me turn it on. There we go. No, we use electricity. In Jesus' days, they used something like this. And the thing with a lamp, and it's blindingly obvious, isn't it? That there's no point covering it up. Right, it's painfully obvious from Jesus. You know, take our lamp. If we turned off all the lights here, and I put this bucket over the lamp, right, we lose all... Oh, thanks, David. That's nice. We lose all the value of it, don't we? I mean, no, the light is there to be seen. That's what Jesus is telling us. The light is there to be seen. It's really obvious. So what's the light then that Jesus is talking about? Right, what is this little lamp illustrating? And Jesus here is primarily talking about himself. Or more specifically, he's talking about his teachings, the things that he's been telling us as we've gone through Luke's gospel. Hey, let's think back to what we saw last week with the parable of the sower. You know, Ed gave us all a little acorn to take home. That whole story driving us towards the point that we must spread the news about Jesus far and wide. We should scatter it. You know, we spread the news that Jesus is the one who has power over life. Sorry, power over death, the power to offer us life. Jesus is the one who is the promised saving king of the Old Testament. You know, this is the news that's to be spread far and wide. It should go far and it should be seen. It should be held up for everyone to see, just like the lamp. The words of the Lord Jesus are like the lamp, not meant to be hidden, but meant to shine out for everyone to see. It's such a clear picture from Jesus. And yet, if you're anything like me, I so often find myself wanting to hide it. Now, I wonder, where are we hiding the words of Jesus? Where are we taking this glorious light of the gospel and putting it, Jesus says, under a bed, putting it out of sight so no one can see it? We have the greatest news in the world as Christians. You know, the news that brings life and fulfillment and the true and great satisfaction. And yet Jesus tells us we're prone to hiding it. We need to cover it up or to put it away. It's a really simple question, isn't it? Are we putting this light of the gospel away? Do the people around us know that we are Christians? You know, our friends at school, our colleagues at work, the other parents at the school gate and on the WhatsApp chats, do they see the light of the gospel in what we say and in what we do? You can see where Jesus closes that sentence. He says, the light is there so that those who come in can see the light. Now, it's supposed to be seen. That's the whole point of a light, isn't it? It's supposed to be seen. You know, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you are so welcome. We're thrilled that you're here. And I hope that in some of what we've done this evening, you've seen some of that light. We really don't want to be hiding it because we think it is amazing. Now, I wonder if sometimes we also hide that light amongst ourselves. You know, we take the wonderful light, the amazing news that my identity is found in Christ, in Jesus, in being a Christian, not in my success on the sports field or my prowess in the classroom or my KPIs at work. We take that and we stick it under the bed. Or we take that wonderful light, the news that actually what I need to do is I need to strive after Christ, after him, after seeking to build his kingdom, not that next holiday or that other job or that new thing or that product or that subscription, whatever it is, and we stick it under the bed. Now, the lamp is there to be seen. That's what Jesus says. So let's not hide it. And the lamp is also there because it exposes, it reveals. And this is Jesus' second point. Let me read verse 17. Have a look down with me. Jesus says this: "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open here." See what Jesus is saying here? Things that are hidden will be revealed. That's what light does, isn't it? You know, when we go into a dark room looking for something, the first thing we do is we flick on the light. It makes everything so much easier because the light reveals the room to us, doesn't it? And what Jesus is saying here, that the light of the gospel, the light of his teachings, reveals everything. If you want to know how the world works, listen to Jesus. If you want to know what you're like, listen to Jesus. If you want to know what the meaning of life is, don't scramble around in the dark, Jesus says. Turn on the lights. Listen to me. Jesus' teachings tell us all that we need to know about the world out there. And they also reveal to us what's going on in here, what my heart is really like. And this is, I think, one of the greatest revelations of Jesus. He tells me what my heart is like. Let me give you an example that I faced over the last few weeks. A couple of weeks ago, we were reading chapter 6. Some phenomenal teaching from Jesus. And Jesus, he says these things. He says, love your enemies. He says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. And my heart goes, why? I don't want to do that. No, I want to like the people that like me. I want to pray for the people that might pray for me. I don't want to do that. But the light of Jesus' teaching revealing to me that my heart is quick to judge and slow to forgive. That really I want revenge on my enemies rather than God's mercy poured out on them. You know, just as the streetlights reveal to us the potholes in the road that we need to avoid, so Jesus' teaching reveals the stumbling blocks in my own heart. Now, Jesus' teaching reveals all. And there's no point trying to hide it. You see Jesus' words there? He says, for there is nothing hidden, nothing concealed that will not be known. It will all come out in the end. But if you're sitting there like a school child before an exam, thinking that your lack of revision is suddenly going to be on show and you're going to be called out, that is not what Jesus is like. No, he is the doctor who has come to fix our souls. You know, trying to hide sin from him is about as sensible as trying to hide a broken leg from a radiologist who is standing there with a scan of your x-ray. He knows it's there, but he's there to fix it. Jesus' teaching reveals all. And so Jesus says, be careful. Make sure you listen well. You see that, how he starts in verse 16? Jesus says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Now, there isn't just one way of listening. And we all know this, don't we? Yeah, there are times, I'm sure we can all recall, where we think we've been listening, but we haven't really. I'm terrible at this. Rosie will tell you. Multiple times a day, I will ask her a question and not really listen to the answer. Yeah, I'll be putting the kettle on and go, darling, would you like a cup of tea? Not 2 minutes will pass. And I'll be back in the room saying, oh, yeah, sorry, love. Did you want a cup of tea? Now, we all do it, don't we? We do it in the little things, and we do it with the things that are more significant. And this is the most significant when it comes to listening to Jesus. Because the consequences, he tells us, are huge. He says, whoever has, right, that is the people who are already listening to Jesus, his followers, well, they'll be given more. And whoever does not have, that is the people that aren't listening to Jesus, who aren't following him, well, even that little that they think they have will be taken away. Be careful how you listen, says Jesus. Make sure you're listening well. And so the obvious question from that is, well, if I need to make sure I'm listening well, how do I listen well? Right? What is good listening? Jesus, you tell us it's really important. How do we do that? And that's where we get the next little story. Because this is where Jesus gives us our second point. We listen to Jesus because that's what his family does. It's what his family does. This is verse 19 to 21, that next little section. We're on page 1037 if you close your Bible. And these verses give us the answer to this question, how do I listen well? And this is quite a fun little story. Jesus' family, they come to see him, but because of the crowd, they can't get through. It seems a bit awkward for them, maybe a bit embarrassing. These guys were Jesus' family after all. Surely being a family member of the hottest guy in town means that you get direct access. Think of our Prime Minister. No matter how busy Keir Starmer is, you would hope he has time to pick up the phone to his mum. And so the message goes through to Jesus. Jesus, your mum's here, your brothers are outside, they really want to come in and see you. And Jesus says something amazing. Look down with me at verse 21. He says this. So Jesus replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now, Jesus tells us here how to listen well. He says, hear it and put it into practice. The two elements of good listening, hear and obey. This is how you listen to the teaching of Jesus. You hear and obey. That is true listening. It's not listening where we haven't really been paying attention, where it's just background noise, like the announcements on the train about what station is coming up next. Or it's not listening where we've heard it, but we listen and we go, nah, I don't really want to do that. No thanks. That's not listening either. Listening well means to hear and obey. And I wonder if that phrase that Jesus uses, he says, those who hear God's word and put it into practice, I wonder if that rings any bells. Because you've heard that already. Back in chapter 6 with the wise and the foolish builders, it's the exact same phrase. There's nothing new here from Jesus. Listening well means to hear and to obey. So if that's good listening, why do we listen well? Because that's what Jesus' family does. Jesus here is really clear. When he's asked the question, he says, my family are the ones who listen well. My family are the ones who hear and obey. That's what being a part of Jesus' family means. And in a culture that emphasized family ties far much more than we do, this was huge. Now, I don't think here Jesus is kind of disparaging or pushing to one side his biological family. He clearly loved them. If you're in any doubt of that, see how Jesus' final words on the cross were to make sure his mum was looked after by John. Now, he loved them. But what I think Jesus is doing here is saying that merely being in his orbit isn't enough. Like, just being in the same house as him wasn't enough to be his true family. Now, I think today we'd say, well, just the act of coming to church isn't enough. Now, the criteria that Jesus gives us to be in his family, he says to hear God's word and put it into practice. And I know one of those things is much easier than the other one. No, Jesus' family were the closest people to him, right? They grew up with him. But the instruction to them is the same. Hear and obey. Now, we listen to Jesus because that's what his family does. And lastly, it's our third point. Third little story. Listen to Jesus because his power is extraordinary. This is verse 22 down to 25. You know, Jesus' power is extraordinary. That's why we listen. Let me read the story again. Verse 22, have a look down with me. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water and they obey him." The sea is a powerful thing. If you've ever been down at the coast during a storm or playing around in the waves on the beach, you will know the sea is powerful. Rosie and I, whenever we can, we try to do a fair bit of surfing. We're not amazing. We're only really messing around in the small swells of England. But even the tame English waves down in Cornwall give you a small glimpse of the raw power of the ocean. And things often go badly. Thankfully, not for us. But the sea can be a scary place. Now, for the last few years, the BBC have followed lifeboat crews around the UK, the RNLI, as they step in when things go south on the water. It's called Saving Lives at Sea. Has anyone seen it? It's well worth watching, unless if you're a nervous swimmer, probably best to give it a miss. Because things can go wrong, and people find themselves at the mercy of the elements. And thankfully, in the UK, one phone call, and these guys come and rescue you, and they've got some really serious kit. They've got these amazing boats that... if that capsizes, it will self-right itself. They're amazing. But the disciples didn't have that. No, in the middle of their storm, with the boat starting to sink, with no RNLI to call, it seems hopeless. It seems like they were utterly helpless. There was nothing they could do to fight against the storm. Until the one who formed that very water that was threatening to engulf them woke up from his slumber. Yeah, the one whose voice slung stars into space and spoke the waters into being utters once more, and the waters go flat. It's dead calm rather than dead disciples. Jesus, he was never really going to let them drown. That was his rebuke to them. Yeah, where is your faith? And in fear and amazement, they turn to each other. And the question that has been on the lips of so many people in Luke's gospel so far is on theirs. Who is this? Jesus, who are you? He commands the winds and the waters and they obey him. We listen to Jesus because he has extraordinary power. Because that's what the water does. In this passage, isn't it? The water, it hears and it obeys. Now, our Bibles in this final sentence, in our English translation, it hides a word from us. Because where it says the winds and the water, they obey him. Well, in the language that the Bible was written, in the New Testament, that word is the same word we get in verse 18 for listen and verse 21 for hear. It's the word akouo. It's where we get acoustics from. It's the same word. The storm listened to Jesus. It listened and obeyed. Even the wind and the waves hear and obey the Lord Jesus. All of creation hears and obeys the one who rules over it. They hear God's word and they put it into practice. Now, imagine how much use this would be to the brave men and women of our lifeboat crews. You know, rather than battling sea and tide and wind and rain, they could just command the sea to stop and it will. And it's ridiculous. We know that's never going to happen. You know, only the Lord Jesus has the power to do that. And that is why it's worth listening to him. You know, we listen to the one who commands the seas and the skies. We listen to Jesus because his power is utterly extraordinary. It is unmatched in all of creation. Now, in a world that is noisy, we need a good reason to listen to someone. And Jesus here gives us three pretty knockout reasons to listen. You know, we listen to Jesus because his truth is light. What he tells us, what he shows us, reveals all his teachings are a beacon of light in this world of darkness, showing us the way. His teachings not only do that, but they reveal the intricacies of our own hearts, showing us that we need a Savior. We listen to Jesus because it's what his family does. Now, merely kind of being in his orbit isn't enough. No, a true family member, one whom Jesus looks at and goes, "You are mine," is the one who hears and obeys. And we listen to Jesus because his words hold extraordinary power. Such power that the almighty forces of nature hear and obey. They listen well. And if you're here tonight and you're doing your best to listen to Jesus, you hear him and you try to obey him, be encouraged, you're doing the right thing. This is what Jesus tells us to do, so keep going. Let the light of his gospel shine into all areas of your life. Don't try to hide anything from Jesus. There's no point going incognito with him. He sees all and knows all. And if you're here tonight and you're still figuring out whether Jesus is worth listening to, let me leave you with this. There are countless people demanding our attention, aren't there? It's often exhausting. They're calling for us to listen to them, to hear them, to obey them. Do any of them match up to this? Are any of them as credible as Jesus? Let me encourage you, keep hearing Jesus. Keep listening to him. Keep seeing what he says. Read about what he does. And I'm convinced you will see that he is the only person worth listening to. We're going to sing in a minute. Why don't I pray as we close? Heavenly Father, help us to listen to the Lord Jesus. Thank you that the light of the gospel shines out into this dark world. Thank you that it shines into our dark hearts and reveals all. Help us to listen to him because of that. Help us to listen because it's what we do as members of his family. And Lord, we praise you that the one we listen to holds extraordinary power. Help us to listen well. Help us to hear and to obey, we ask. Amen.